Issues Etc. 24, Hour 7, starts now.
You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God. He says it takes faith that results in loving others. Religion without love doesn't matter. It's not enough to say, I believe. What matters is how I love God and how I love other people. That's the great commandment.
And that again is Rick Warren. I wonder. See, our guest for the next 2 hours, Pastor George Borghardt, grew up as a Roman Catholic. I got to wonder whether or not what Warren, big evangelical leader, just said there sounds somewhat familiar, harkens back to those days as an altar boy for Pastor George Borghardt. He's joining us to talk about justification. Now, this is a word that you may not hear used very often in the church today. It's big. Some people believe it's rather complicated. It really is the heart and center of the Christian faith. It's not just some sort of doctrinal formula, but Luther, the 16th century reformer, went so far as to say it is upon the teaching of justification, how it is that and why it is that God declares man righteous, man the sinner, righteous completely in his sight. It is upon this that the entire Christian faith stands or falls. We're going to find out why in the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. 24. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for Pastor Borghardt on the doctrine of justification at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. He's conference executive for the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things, and he joins us live from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's down there because, in addition to being a loyal Lutheran, he is also, I believe, a loyal LSU fan. George, welcome back.
How's it going?
It's going well. I understand that you, at least for tonight, you're giving us some of your time, but you're going to have to get rested for tomorrow because pretty much the central, if we talk about the central doctrine of the Christian faith, the central event in your life is taking place tomorrow. What is it?
A little bit of idolatry here, I'm going to have to confess. I came down for the LSU-Alabama game. I'm going to watch my Tigers beat up on Bama. I'm not going to fill this with too much football, but man, it's going to be a good game. But as excited as my blood was boiling before, as we drove into Baton Rouge, crossed that bridge, and saw the stadium all lit up, man, that Rick Warren quote got me hot. Oh, man, that's a bad quote. Oh man,
well, and
that's Roman Catholicism. That's Roman. He's a papist. Wow. I need to get out more. I must be reading too much ESPN. That's Roman Catholicism, right there. What we believe as Lutherans is confessed very clearly in the scriptures, and it's also confessed for us in the Lutheran confessions. But Warren said, pretty much assumes that salvation begins by faith, and then it's worked out by love. That's Roman Catholicism. We can't love God apart from faith. We can't even begin to love God apart from faith. Forget about the people those around us in the second table. There's no love in God. There's only God being angry with us apart from faith. And it's either faith formed by love, that's Roman Catholicism, or you begin by faith, but then you got to work your salvation out. God likes that. That's evangelicalism. It's also Roman Catholicism. It's all variations on a theme which robbed Jesus of his glory. See, that's when we're talking about justification. We're talking about glorifying Christ and comforting troubled consciences. That's the two things which are uniquely Lutheran. And that quote robs Jesus of his glory. It robs him of the cross of Christ because if faith isn't enough, that means Jesus isn't enough. If salvation on the cross isn't enough, and we're left doing something, and that's loving our neighbor, and no one wants to stand before God by how much they love their neighbor. Ew. Oh, that's worse than, well, I'm not going to any football references. But anyway.
Well, I wonder, and I think you're quite right that what Warren has said there puts him theologically more at home in medieval Roman Catholicism than in the Protestant Reformation, most definitely. But I wonder if it's even more wrong than it sounds initially, because he says it takes more than faith to really please God. And it sounds like already he's off on the wrong foot, saying that it is my faith that pleases God rather than Christ who pleases God.
Right. Yeah, we are so turned inward. We are so sinful. We are so messed up when it comes to our original sin and our actual sin that we would turn faith into something we do, a stuff that's inside of us that makes us pleasing to God. That's very similar to Rome. Rome uses grace as a stuff that you're injected with, gratia infusa, which makes you lovable by God and makes you able to love others. And what we do in Protestantism is we turn faith into that stuff which makes us acceptable to God. It's the stuff which is inside us that makes us good. And he does a little bit of that. It's just gross. Again, because it robs Christ of his glory and it robs troubled consciences of their peace. Because again, now I got to look, and this is the thing which I don't normally talk about it, but I was thinking about it on the way in to Louisiana. The thing which scared me most when I first became a Lutheran was not that I received great comfort from salvation being by grace through faith, and that faith saved. But then the next question that the next thing I got scared about is, well, do I have this stuff called faith? And as long as faith was located inside of me, some stuff that I do, some heart that I got going on, some excitement that I've got going on for God, or something which you can see in my life, or something that you can see in the life of my neighbor, then I don't have that going on. It wasn't until it came clear that faith is receiving gifts from God, that the worship which offers God gifts, and this is again a quote from our Lutheran Confessions, the worship which offers God gifts is the worship of the law, and the worship which receives from God his promises is faith. So faith is receiving from God his forgiveness, the cross-won forgiveness. Faith is not some stuff which makes me better. Oh, only... then I have to go looking for some faith, and we don't want any of that. What we want is comfort for our troubled consciences and Christ to be glorified. And Christ is glorified when he alone is what makes us pleasing to God. And Warren doesn't have that. He's a papist. I'm feeling squirrely. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about some of the primary passages wherein this clear teaching of Scripture. In fact, we will even hear from Luther that it's the central teaching of Holy Scripture, Old and New Testament. That is, man is justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. Where do you go first to find that in Holy Scripture, George?
Well, it's everywhere. I mean, that's the thing. It's everywhere. Now, when you put me on the spot, my first thought is, of course, Paul, Romans, or Galatians, or Ephesians, or anywhere. But when we pull the string, once we start talking a little bit about Romans, when we start pulling the string and we start talking about salvation by grace through faith, it's everywhere. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's in the epistles. It's in the gospel. It fills things. My normal place to begin with justification is Romans, but that's just because, you just had Galatians, you're giving away the Galatians commentary. Oh, that's a great commentary. Oh, that's just, my place to go is Romans 3, and we'll go, and watch me, sort of as I get more caffeined up and for the sake of you staying awake, get a little bit more pepped up, I'll start going other places. Romans 3, you have Paul lay out in the first two chapters the law. He lays out that there's two righteousnesses, the righteousness of the law and he lays out that righteousness of the law, and he lists sins, and he goes through how we are, and he lays out for us that we're born sinners, we are given over by God into our sin, and that we not only like sin, but we like to approve of others doing sin. Chapter 2 begins, we not only like to sin, but we like to like judge others for sins that we commit. So we look down on people for the very same things we do. And he builds this argument in the first two chapters of Romans about how of our sinful condition, ending with that no one is righteous, not one. No one loves God, not one person. No one fears God. Our mouths are full of evil. We spit evil out about our neighbor. We're murderous. And he says the clincher concerning the law, by works of the law, shall no flesh, for by works of the law, Romans 3:20, by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And then comes the gospel. But now, it's nunidia in Greek, that but now, chorus, apart from the law, righteousness of God has appeared, it's manifested. It's epiphanied. It was testified by the law and the prophets. So it's Old Testament righteousness. So when you talk about the gospel, you're talking about not a new doctrine that just makes its appearance in the gospel, but you're talking about a doctrine to which the law and the prophets testify. So the Old Testament is proclaiming and witnessing to this righteousness, and it's a righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ to all who believe. So it's the righteousness of Christ received by faith. And that is the righteousness which holds before God. It is a different righteousness from the law. When Rick Warren says, you know, that faith isn't enough to please God, or it's just a start, he is still in that righteousness which lives up something to God as an offering to God, whether it be an offering of praise, or whether it be an offering of works, or whether it be an offering of believing enough. But Paul says, apart from that sort of righteousness is a different righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. It's the righteousness of the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. And that righteousness comes through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, to all who believe. And there's no distinction. All sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All played the game of the Warren quote or the Roman Catholicism quote, the religion of the law, the religion of works, the religion of us offering God our merits. All have played that game, and all die in that. It's the opinion of the law that we can do the law. We'll talk about that since we got, an hour and 40 minutes left. But there's another righteousness, and we all fall short of the glory of God, but we are all justified by his grace. That is, as a gift. Grace means free. Look at Jesus on the cross. That's grace. As a gift, Christmas presents are free. You don't earn your gifts. Your gifts are given, right? Through the redemption, through the buying back that is in Christ Jesus. You load it up with Jesus, and there you have the righteousness which holds before God. And God put him forth as a propitiation. This is Romans 3:25. He put him forth as a sin offering by his blood to be received. How is he received? Not by works and love, or by believing in love, or by doing something. Because if that is true, then Christ died in vain. The gospel is lost. The confession, Lutheran confessions say, this other false teaching of Jesus and something else robs Jesus of his glory and made him die in vain. No! But by his blood, he died on the cross for us. That death for us on the cross, received by faith, is what holds for sure. That's what holds before God. And that alone saves us. Which means Jesus alone saves us.
This is, you just mentioned the opinion of the law is that we can do the law, that we can keep the law. And that is the foil against which Paul appears to be speaking in Romans chapter 3 about the justification that is by grace through faith alone, apart from works of the law. So go into a little more depth there, if you would, George. You said the opinion of the law is that we can do the law.
Yeah, it's the pineo legis. This is the thing that we always do with ourselves. It's the thing which goes on inside of us. Even when we make a mistake, we eat too much. I'm gonna be eating some boudin tomorrow and some jambalaya. I'm gonna have me some fried fish. It's gonna be great. And afterwards, I'm gonna look at myself and I'm gonna go, "You're a pig, George." But then, what am I gonna do? I'll do better. I won't eat tomorrow. You follow me? I can do better. I can get better. It's not as bad as I think it is. I can fix this. God, if you just help me a little bit, I can do this. And we take a look at the law. Our favorite place to look in the law is not the first table, but the second table. Commandments 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We take a look at those laws and we think, you know what? I'm not murdering anybody. I'm not sleeping with anyone I shouldn't be. I'm not stealing. I'm honoring mom and dad. That was 4. I've got 8. I'm not gossiping or not telling any lies or not as bad as other people. At least I can hold up that. I'm not as bad as other people. And then 9 and 10, I'm not coveting things. So I'm not doing so poorly. That's the opinion of the law. I take a look at the law and I think, I can do this. But that's not the real law. I mean, when the guy in Houston, I used to be in Houston, and I'm sorry, my adrenaline is so high with the game and stuff, Osteen. When Osteen looks at people and he tells them that if they're good in their families or they lose weight or they manage their money, they'll feel better about themselves. God will love them. Well, even the pagans can do those things. You don't need Jesus to do those things. The second table of the law, you don't need Jesus for. The crass unbelievers do those things and frown on people who don't. See, when the law in its full strictness comes and that first table of the law hits, which is not only that you do that those things for your neighbor, but that you also believe that God is good and that He alone saves you, and that you honor His name and you hold it dear and sacred, and you hold His word and you gladly hear and learn it. When that comes in and starts bulldozing you, and you realize I can't do the law, well then the fertile ground starts to happen for the gospel. Paul says this: those of you who want to be justified by the law, have you actually read it? Because if you read the law, you would be cornered, sucking your thumb in the corner. You would be afraid of the law. But it's that you think that the law is not a hot thing that's going to burn you, that you can think you can take something hot and put it in your lap and not be burned, says the Proverbs. So the opinion of the law is that we can do the law. That's a great deception. It's only when the law comes and levels us that Jesus can come in with His words and rescue us. We got to die. We die to the law. As long as we think we're alive in the law, we're unsavable. It's when the law has crushed us and killed us, and there's nothing left other than a heaping sackcloth and ashes, then the Lord comes in with His forgiveness, pours water in His words and absolves us, puts His name on us, clothes with His righteousness. And someone who's died and raised from the dead does not look up and go, "Well, I'm glad I lived. I'm not doing so poor. No, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Now, I sound like an evangelical, but you get the point. When you're not savable at all in and of yourself, well, then, only Jesus can save you. And that business of, well, it's not enough that Jesus can save you. Faith isn't enough. It's only the start. All of that dies in the filthy, rotten concupiscence of my sin. And I'm brought out of it by Jesus, who says, "You know what? I've got more forgiveness than you have sins. I've got more righteousness than you have unrighteousness. I've got more justification than you've got sanctification." Oh, no. That's going to get me in trouble.
Pastor George Borchardt is our guest. We'll take a break here. Let him get the giggles out of his system, although I have a strong feeling that in the next 2 hours, he's probably just going to get them worse than he already has them, if I know him. We're talking about justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake, the central teaching of Scripture in this two-hour block of Issues Etc. 24. This is our live 24-hour broadcast, and we are only in hour 7. Pastor George Borchardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. He's conference executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things. He joins us live from Baton Rouge, where he awaits that LSU-Alabama game tomorrow, and that explains why he has the giggles. He's positively giddy. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or leave that question for Pastor Borchardt at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC.
Not guilty of being on your street, getting underneath your feet.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Betty calling from Idaho. We thank God for the day that once again we heard your theme song on the air. Tears just came to my eyes. It was such a blessing to have you back on. And what do you mean to me? You are a voice for help and direction at a time when religiously and politically we need sound Lutheran biblical guidance. My husband and I are so happy that you're on the air, and we support you financially as well. God's blessings to you in this wonderful ministry. From Idaho, Jerry and Betty. Bye-bye.
Jerry and Betty, friends of ours, friends of the show, Issues Etc. here, and thanks for that comment. Thanks for spending some time with us during Issues Etc. 24. I'm Craig Feidinger, along with a producer, I think I've called you this a few times now, producer extraordinaire, and I mean that, Jeff, I mean that. Producer extraordinaire, Jeff Schwarz, and we've got some things to tell you about during this break of Issues Etc. 24. We'll get back to Pastor George Borchardt here shortly. But we're here to take your pledge this evening. Any size gift at 877-623-MYIE. That's 877-623-6943. Jeff or I will talk you through the process. We'll take the pertinent information. Or you can donate via a secure server at issuesetc.org. That's online at issuesetc.org.
Another way you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. is through our congregational sponsorship program. It's called the Issues Etc. 300. These are churches that pledge to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Put in their budgets to the tune of $1,000 a year. And right now, we know in the fall, most fiscal years in congregations begin on January 1st. I know we've got our voters meeting at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, coming up here, I think, next week. And so now's the time to ask your congregation to support this worldwide outreach. And when you do so, you're not only supporting a worldwide outreach, Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian, but you also receive advertising for your congregation, commercials during the show. We've got you, post you under the Find a Church page at our website, and also in the online Issues Etc. journal. So it's called the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out more about this congregational support program under the support page at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org.
Any gift this evening, also, you will receive the 2-CD set. And where did it go? It was here just a second ago.
I keep taking it from you. It's LSB Hymns Thanks. And Services, 26 hymns and 4 settings of the Divine Service, the Lutheran Service Book. And you don't have to be you can make a dollar donation and we'll send it to you. No gift is too small. We appreciate everything that you can do to help support this worldwide outreach. As Craig mentioned, 618-223-8385. That's the number you're listening on demand. Definitely use that number, 618-223-8385. Live listeners, 877-623-6943 or issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for considering supporting Issues Etc. during Issues Etc. 24.
But I ain't nothing, nothing but a sinner saved by grace. 'Cause Jesus loved me so very much that he took my place.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I need the little bit of the beat there. Although, I actually, for being a half hour into hour seven, I'm feeling remarkably well. They fed me too late here at Issues Etc. And then, so I get sleepy. I'm like a baby. You feed me, and I go to sleep, which is why I usually don't eat too much lunch around here. Well, I had my dinner about 8 o'clock, and now that it's 9:30, I'm just coming out of that kind of slightly fuzzy mindedness that you have after you've had something to eat. Well, at least after I've had something to eat. And I really need a guy like George Borghardt, our guest, to keep me on point and to keep me awake during these hours of Issues Etc. 24. We're talking about the central teaching of Holy Scripture, justification. Now, you were talking before the break, George, about when the law lays you low. And you already talked about this a little bit earlier, but in those chapters of Romans, in particular, leading up to chapter 3, Paul does his level best to make sure we understand what the real opinion of the law is. Not our opinion of what the law ought to be.
Correct.
But what God's opinion of the law is. What does he have to say to us in that law that lays us low before he speaks to us about that righteousness that is apart from works?
All right. First of all, I just want to let you know that as I sit here in this really bad room at this hotel, I'm watching a roach on the other side, and now Jeff has switched me to the hotel phone. If I die from this phone, it's on y'all. All right? I'm just saying it.
I thought you were on the hotel phone, and he switched you to your cell phone.
I was on my cell phone because I didn't want to, but I've got the roach in. I'm watching him across the room, and yeah, who knows what sort of germs are on this phone. There's a part of me that's dying right now. This is just great. The things I do for you, man. I love you, man. But
we love you too,
George. There's
a roach
over there, and I'm on the house phone now.
Well, I don't want to disturb you. I don't want to disturb you or your listeners, but, you know, there's no guarantee that roach wasn't at some point in the last 24 hours on the phone. So.
I know. I'm going to die. This is all bad. Oh, no.
Yeah, there's no good way of looking at that.
This doesn't end well.
But
this
that's what
doesn't
you,
end well at all.
That's what you get for going south. You know, if
there's nothing wrong with the south. There's this hotel, and it was. I ordered it online, and everything was great. And then they called me right back, and they were like, "Oh, the hotel you ordered was full. Let's change your order." And I was like, "Oh, that's fine. Give me a coupon." That was a bad idea. Anyway, I've got the eye on the roach, and I've got my mouth away from the phone because I'm not going anywhere near this phone. The law. Let's do the law. So that was a little bit of fun. I want to make sure you're awake. So
I am. Now I'm really awake because he got me looking for roaches. Go ahead.
I don't have to look. There's one right there. If I can see one, that means there's tons of other ones. All right. So basically, now we talked about the opinion that we have of the law, this idea that we can save ourselves. But the law, the real law, the true law, the law that comes from God, the veil which Moses covers his face with, the rumbling mountain of God's wrath, that God, outside of faith, God is just mad. He's angry. And he's right. That's the real problem of the law. He's right. And so we sort of skimmed through it, but it should be noted, let's go to 129 in Romans. They were filled with all matter of unrighteousness, that's us, evil, that's us, covetousness, that's us, malice, that's us. In Greek, that's kakia. That's just depravity. That's the sick stuff that you get in an email and you take the second peek with. It's the evil that you do. It's when things go wrong and you laugh about it for other people. The fact that somebody may be laughing that I'm in a really nasty hotel room. They're full of envy. They're full of murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, and then my personal favorite, disobedient to parents. We're foolish, we're faithless, we're heartless, we're ruthless. Though they know the righteous decree that those who practice such things
deserve to die. They not only do them, but they give approval to people who practice them. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in this passing judgment on another person, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the same things. We do the long list. Whenever there's a long list of scriptures in the scriptures, we get fuzzy. We get scared because it's talking about us. The rich guy who leaves because he doesn't want to give away all his stuff, that's us. The people who run up with the stones in order to stone the lady who's been caught in the act of adultery, that's us. Pious Nicodemus, not so pious, coming to Jesus by night because his religion can't be seen by anyone. Where was he during all the crucifixion stuff? Oh, he seemed silent. That's us. We're the Jews standing outside of the praetorium who can't go in to see Pilate. Why can't they go in? Because if they go in, they'll be unclean. But they're trying to murder the innocent Jesus. But if they go in, they'll be unclean. We're the people who bring Jesus to Pilate and say, if he weren't guilty, we wouldn't have brought him to you. We're those guys. We're Peter, who denies Jesus three times, not to scary guards or mean people, but finally he curses out a little girl who catches him in his accent. We're that guy. We're that guy. That when we take a look at ourselves, we're porn watchers, we're adulterers, we're murderers, we're haters, we're disobedient to our parents, we're despisers of God's word and his gifts. We would rather look at our phones during the sermon than listen. We don't believe God is good, at least not good to us. We're jealous of other people because he seems good to them. Oh, we're thieves, we cheat, we steal, we walk all over people. Some people, we look at other people, even in church, we like some better than others. And who are the people that we like most? Todd, the people who have something that we can get from them. That's who we are. And to such people, there is no hope in and of themselves. Because even if we could reform our lives perfectly, we could do nothing to please God. You see, it just hit me in the break as I was watching, kept my eye on that roach. If I should scream like a girl, it's because I found a second roach. But if we actually think in the midst of all of this that we can do this, but it's in the Lutheran confessions again, and it's in the scriptures. Only by faith can God be pleased. Can we do something that is pleased? So we could keep the law perfectly in our own eyes and miss that first commandment of loving God with our whole heart, fear, loving, and trusting in God above all things, and we would still fall short. And how can such people be saved? Not in and of themselves. Try to love other people. It'll last for a little bit, but you're not going to save yourself. Try to love God only for a little bit, not in and of yourself. The only thing which is going to save is him hanging there on the cross, answering for my sins and the sins of the whole world. That is the only thing which is going to save me. That is the grace of God. That is the mercy of God. That is the justification of God. I heard justification. Yeah, that's probably good. Half, 45 minutes into the discussion to actually mention the word that we're... Because we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about justification. That's what we're talking about. Jesusification. Forgiveness of occasion. That's what justification is. It's Christification, crossification, it's crucifixion-ication. It's Christ for me. It's the forgiveness of sins received by faith. That's justification. And that faith which receives Jesus, what he did for us, is the very righteousness which we're declared righteous before God. So you want to know how God is pleased? It is not by works of law. It is by receiving what his son did for you. And that's faith. And that's faith that saves, because Jesus saves.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. I like the way he's expanded the topic here. Actually, he's just kept it right where it is, but he's given us a whole new set of vocabulary for it. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and conference executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things. Our call-in number on this Friday evening as we talk about justification during Issues Etc. 24, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Let's go to the phones and see what Herman has to say. He's calling from Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Hi, and thank you. Pastor Borgert, as the program of your period began, you just identified Rick Warren's theology as being intermixing with Roman Catholic doctrine of works righteousness. Would a similar appraisal be made of the liberal Lutherans who signed the joint document on the Declaration of Justification, who are weak on the divine authority of Scripture, but try to cover it up with what they call the emphasis on social justice issues? Is there a similar thing going on there?
Thanks, Herman. Thanks for listening in Illinois. What do you say, George?
Anything which detracts from Christ alone being our salvation, anything which detracts from that is not of the gospel, and it's anathema. And so when we hedge the gospel, when we change the gospel, when we tweak it, when we make it more agreeable so that we can get together with Rome, yeah, it's a different gospel completely, and no comfort for troubled consciences come from that. Good question. And from Illinois, thanks be to God.
Now, you used a series of terms there, Christification and crossification, all those kind of things, to drive home the point that justification is really about Jesus. Let's take the term apart a little bit, because there's some possible, well, and some likely misunderstanding that people have about this. The Lutheran reformers were very adamant that we speak about this justification being a reckoning, the way Paul talks about it later in Romans chapter 4 with regard to Abraham, and you can go there if you like, but also a reckoning and an imputation of Christ's righteousness. They're trying to say this is what it means to be justified, not to have grace poured into you, but to be given grace, and not to have an inherent righteous, but to be counted or reckoned as righteous. Take us there, if you would, George.
Right. We don't merit forgiveness in and of ourselves. We don't earn it. It's not something that we do. There's a lot of... what happens is Christ's death on the cross is the sacrifice which makes us acceptable to God. That is the right. That is how we are declared. I mean, that's what wins salvation for us. All right. So you'll pardon me as I sort of slide my iPad pages. I'm looking for a quote from the Confessions where justification is defined. It also means that I have to get really close to this phone, which is gross. All right. Justification is that we're declared righteous. If I'm guilty and the judge declares me righteous, innocent, then it doesn't matter if I'm guilty or not, because someone who can change the universe has declared me righteous. It is an imputed righteousness or imputed innocence from the judge to me. If I have a load of debt and the bank calls me and absolves that debt and forgives that debt, it doesn't matter that I had great debt anymore, because someone has absolved that debt and forgiven that debt. Now, you and I have a debt that we cannot pay in and of ourselves. That debt was put upon Jesus. He did two things, his active and passive obedience. He kept the law for us, active. He died on the cross for all our sins and paid for our sins. So he both kept the law as if we were keeping the law, and then he died for all the times in which we don't keep the law. That is the righteousness which holds before God. How do we get that? Well, not by our merits. To receive the forgiveness of sins is to be justified. Apology 4. According to Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. By faith alone, not through love. It's like they have read Rick Warren, not because of love or works, that's because they know Roman Catholicism. We receive the forgiveness of sins, although love flows love follows faith. Therefore, by faith alone are we justified. We understand justification as making the making of a righteous person out of an unrighteous person. So it makes a saint out of a sinner. It makes a holy person out of an unholy person. It makes a righteous person out of an unrighteous person. And that only occurs because of Jesus' death on the cross, received by faith alone.
So when he's talking about Abraham, Paul is saying he believed, he just quotes the Old Testament, really.
Yeah.
He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And then he says things like, well, you know, if someone works and then they get something for it, that's earned. What's the
Correct.
Point? What is the point Paul's trying to make there with regard to Abraham?
Well, Abraham has this incredible promise given to him. I'll make you the father of many nations. Everything about the thing seems unbelievable. Sarah's old, old, all right? Older than me, older than you, older than me and you combined. Abraham's old, all right? There are no blue pills now, all right? There's nothing which could possibly show Abraham in and of himself that both Sarah's going to have Isaac and that he's going to be the father of many nations. He takes the Lord's words by faith. And this is the deal. The faith which believes that Jesus, well, I'm sorry, the faith with Abraham that believes that God is going to fulfill his promise is the faith which makes him righteous. He is not justified by what he does or doesn't do. Because Abraham's not a good person. I know that Luther often says that the patriarchs never blunder, but you can't read Genesis without looking at the patriarchs. What does Abraham do? He like gets scared a couple of times and calls his wife his sister. Yeah, that's good. That's helpful. That's called lying. He almost gives away the promised land. He's a sinner. The only hope he has is that God is both the one who's just and the one who justifies. That is the only hope Abraham has. That is a certain hope, though, because God fulfills his promise to Abraham, and he makes him a father of many nations, despite him. So faith is that righteousness, which is the righteousness of God, because it receives Jesus. That's why we say, you know, I learned from my favorite professor at the seminary, Dr. Nagel, that when you get faith right, when you can switch what you're talking about and switch it with Jesus, that's when you've got faith right. We had that Warren quote earlier where faith wasn't enough, it was just a start. Clearly, that's not Jesus, because Jesus isn't, he would never say Jesus isn't enough. He's got faith wrong. Faith saves because Jesus saves. Faith is our righteousness before God because Jesus is our righteousness before God. Not a righteousness in and of ourselves, and not a work that we do. Faith is when the confessions say faith is the righteousness by which we are declared righteous before God, it says not because of something that we do or because it is a work that we do, but no, because it holds fast to the gospel. And Jesus saves.
Now, I want to tweak the analogy that you drew upon.
Oh, really?
I think you'll
Let's
like
tweak it.
The analogy you said is, you know, if I'm in a court of law and a judge declares me innocent, then it doesn't really matter. And I agree with you completely. But I want to point out that, you know, in an ordinary court of law, the judge can't declare you innocent, but he can declare you not guilty. And there's a difference between
exactly.
The two.
All right. That's exactly right.
But God does declare us innocent, doesn't he? Not just not guilty, but actually innocent.
Yes. He declares us who are sinners righteous. That's a great quote from the Confessions. The righteous, the unrighteous become righteous. He puts on upon us Jesus, and that flood from Jesus' side washes all our sins away, and we who are guilty as sin are now as holy as Jesus. Oh, you could tweak away on that. Look at you go, man. 7 hours and you're correcting me. Look at you.
No, not correcting. Nice. Clarifying is what I'm doing.
Clarifying. Righto. Wink, wink, nod, nod. It's only because I was distracted by the roach, which I've lost track of. Very afraid.
That's worse. Okay, then let's talk a little bit about, we got a few minutes here before we need to break at the top of the hour. Let's talk about grace, because here's another one of the part of the formula that we are justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. I want to go through each part of that formula, so to speak. And we've covered here, at least in a cursory way, justified. Let's talk about grace. What does that mean when Paul uses that word, grace?
It doesn't mean a stuff inside of us. It means it's a gift. Grace is gift, as a gift. It means, I heard it as God's riches is Christ's expense. That's a nice acronym, but yeah. It's God does it all. Christ does it all, and it comes to you freely as a gift. Gift and grace go together. Free and grace go together. Unmerited and grace go together. Law and grace, antithesis. They're opposites. But grace is that favor that God has. He bestows on sinners, that mercy that he bestows on sinners, and where he declares even people the likes of you and me, you, righteous in his sight by Jesus. That is by faith. So it is by grace. So Paul says, it's by grace so that it might be by faith. Or is it by faith so that it may be by grace? I'll have to look it up. But either way, those two go together, faith and grace. He does it by faith so that it would be by grace. Oh, by gift.
If there's a condition, an if, in grace, is it grace?
If there's a condition,
A condition set upon it.
Grace is grace. Grace is free. Grace is Jesus for me. There's no conditions on that. There's only receiving that gift. Gifts are rejectable, of course. You can torch a gift. You can despise a gift. I'm probably despising the gift of this hotel room, but they're gifts. Gifts are rejectable, but a gift is a gift. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And there's a way that you said that you started out by saying it's not something in me.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to fight against Roman Catholicism. I forgot we got 2 hours. I don't have to sort of speak in code. What we're trying to fight against is Roman Catholicism, the idea of infused grace. The Middle Age Church thought of grace as an injectable sort of steroid, a performance-enhancing drug which gives you the juice, like Jeff on caffeine or me on Diet Coke, which gives us the juice to do something. That's not grace. That's not the grace that the Scriptures speak of. When the Scriptures speak of grace, they're talking about Christ alone saving us apart from our works. And that's what grace is. It's Christ on the cross. You want to find the grace of God? You look at Jesus hanging there on the cross.
Well, again, it's not just the medieval Roman Catholics, but this notion of grace as a thing in me seems pretty common among evangelicals, too. They want to feel more grace. It almost becomes a feeling that they have about God rather than God's disposition toward them, for Christ's sake.
Right. Well, yeah, they'll turn the Spirit into the medieval idea of grace. They'll turn faith into the medieval idea of grace, and they'll turn grace into an idea, in the same idea. But to as many as receive him, John 1, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God, who are born not born of blood, not of the will of the flesh, my decision, not of the will of man, my works, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt in it. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of what? The only begotten Son of the Father is full of grace and truth. So you want to see what Jesus is full of? He's full of grace. He is full of truth. The grace of God, which is the cross, and the truth about how God is towards sinners, which is merciful.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll spend another hour on justification with Pastor George Borghardt. That'll be Hour 8 of Issues Etc. 24. It's Friday, November the 2nd. We are coming to you live, and you can join us live with questions or comments for the next hour and for the remaining hours of Issues Etc. 24. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email with a question or comment for Pastor Borghardt. Talk back at issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc, or just head over to our Facebook fan page and leave a question for him right there on the subject of justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, conference executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things. We'll be right back.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Frank from Cary, Illinois, and I listen to Issues Etc. because actually we got a church referral through Issues Etc. to a really great confessional Lutheran church. And that has turned everything around for us quite a bit theologically. And Issues Etc. has been really a beacon for Christ-centered, cross-focused theology, great guests, thought-provoking discussions. And really, you can be quite interactive with Issues Etc. and get your questions answered and your comments discussed. So it's really great stuff. So you guys keep up the good work. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
I'm Craig Feidinger. Glad you're along for Issues Etc. 24. And you can call us at 877-623-MY-I-E. That's 877-623-6943 with your any size gift. And I or Jeff will take your information and we'll get you with a gift of $100 or more. We'll put you in the hopper. And it looks like this 2 hours book is on justification, and that's Luther's Works, Volume 27, Galatians 5 and 6. And we'll draw for that in about an hour. Isn't that right, Jeff?
That's right. An hour from now, a $100 donation or more to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., truth-centered mission outreach. And we'd love to hear from you. And thanks again for everybody staying up with us. It is currently a little after 10 Central Time here in the Midwest. And we're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. 618-223-8385 is the number. 618-223-8385. Or toll free, 877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. And we've got an hour two with Pastor George Borghardt coming up on justification. And preceding that, we've got Pastor Bill Swirla. We'll be on to talk about law and gospel. And then at about the time, I guess it's about 1 in the morning when we're all really tired, we'll have an in-studio guest. I think it's our only in-studio guest during Issues Etc. 24. Pastor Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel Radio Show, will be with us to talk about new obedience and good works. So please call now. Keep Craig and I awake by making your pledge right now, 618-223-8385, 877-623-6943, issuesetc.org. Support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. today.